You ain't making no noise. I'll just assume you're not talking to me because you know that you're muted. Yep. That made a click noise.
That was me snap. Whoa.
Oh, God. This is worse.
If you can't tell, my children played with the buttons on my soundboard.
Oh, sick.
Hello and welcome to Brews Day Tuesday podcast episode 648. I'm Sam Ginsberg, and here is the man himself, Farber J. Eggs. Jed, what you got?
Hi. Tyler's not here, so I have to host. I'm not sure nervous do. About it, but I don't think it'll be very good. But yeah, Tyler unfortunately couldn't make it today on this lovely Tuesday. So I don't remember, Sam, the last time the two of us did an actual episode together. Other than playing a video game, which I do remember.
We played a video game together? What game did we play together?
We played the brewing game.
That doesn't narrow it down. I've done that for like...
Okay.
A lot of different two-man shows.
Oh, geez. Okay. Well, this one was not a very good game. And
yeah, that still doesn't narrow it down.
It seemed like Tyler more knew about it, so you were kind of like just trying to figure out what the hell was going on. That help?
Maybe this isn't fertile ground after all, and we should just talk about our beers.
Oh my god, wow, this is how it feels to be Tyler. So I actually did something cool and unintentional, and I have a Southern Tier beer that has never been drank on the program.
Ooh.
Yes, I have Smooth Rider Session IPA. I found it in my beer fridge, which I have now, so yeah. I searched far and wide. We actually haven't had a lot of Southern Tiers on the podcast. Also, I don't know if you knew that.
I think you might just be wrong, but that's okay.
I did a search for all of them, and it was lower than I expected. What does it mean to be a session IPA? Can you explain that to me?
I can. Interestingly, that's a little bit of a spoiler for my content. The idea of a session IPA is you drink a few of them in a session, mm-hmm. So they should be easy drinking, lower ABV, kind of think a substitute for drinking a bunch of Miller Lights during the big game. You would drink some session IPAs.
Well, in that regard, I think it hits. It's 4.8%, which probably is what the highest ABV that a session would be, like just below up. 5.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah,
episode 526, by the way. I was checking. That's the last time it was just the two of us. You also had a Southern Tier beer. Interesting.
Wow, that is interesting. I don't know what the hell that means. But yeah, so I like it. It tastes pretty good. I'm getting more into IPAs as I age, because I think my palate's getting worse, probably, would be my guess.
As your soul gets bitterer, so does your palate.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Yeah, and now I drink beer more to punish myself instead of a relaxing enjoyment, which I used to.
Right, because of your sins.
Sure, yes. You don't become less sinful as you age, you know? Your sins only stack up.
Unless you accept the love and protection of Jesus Christ into your heart.
Which on Instagram I certainly have, but we'll get to that later. I don't want to spoil my content.
Oh, boy.
Sam, what are you having today?
Man, so much foreshadowing. So this is, we're past Advent, but as you know, of course, Jed, Emily makes me a beer Advent calendar every year. Yes. And makes sure that there's interesting stuff for Tuesdays for these records. But one of the off-day episodes, I was like, this beer sounds too interesting. I'm saving it for the first post-Advent recording, and that's this. This is from The Brewing Project, Peanut Butter Double Stuffed. And now double and stuffed are both spelled wrong in a fun way.
Mm-hmm.
Stout brewed with chocolate, vanilla, peanuts, and natural flavor, 10% ABV. So, like, it seems like it's going for, like, a Oreo, but also there's peanut butter involved situation.
Sure. Seems a little spooky, frankly.
It does. Yeah, I think I'm might be a little late to this one, but I think that'll be fine. It smells just like peanut butter, which is a good sign.
Yeah.
Oh, that is sweet as the Dickens. Wow. But I think it's supposed to be. Yeah, I get cookie and I get peanut butter from this. The booze is also pretty forward, which I think they probably could have masked that a tad, but that's fine. It's good.
Cookie, okay, what's cookie? What does that mean to you? What is
cookie? So a cookie in, sorry, I know you're a real Anglophile, so you might call it a biscuit.
No, I'm just saying cookie is such a broad term.
Sweet and bready, I guess, is what I mean.
Okay. So you're talking about a biscuit. Yeah, fair enough. I'm glad that I switched computers so I can be on video so that we can just look into each other's eyes.
I'm just, you're the host. I'm waiting for you to, you know, steer me where you need me, wherever you need me, boss.
Okay.
I'm happy to help. You just got to give me a little instruction. Give me a little guidance.
Is this the cost of you doing all the editing is you never have to host?
I mean, yeah. That feels fair to me.
That's a good gig. That's a good gig. Before we get into any of the articles, I want to talk about something that only you and I care about, which is board games / video games. Because last time I visited...
Sure. Yeah. Sorry. Give me 5 seconds. Listeners, go ahead and just mash that skip button 5 or 10 minutes.
You are the editor. You're the editor. We just went over this. You can edit this all out.
I won't.
The product that is placed before the viewers is all on you. But we played a board game the last time I visited, and it was one of the most interesting board games I've ever played. One of the most interesting iterations of Tic-Tac-Toe / Connect Four I've ever played.
I'm so glad, because I think I hyped it up maybe a little too much for you. Because I think it's a very interesting game.
It is a very interesting game, and I'd love for you to tell me the name of that game, because I forget.
Oh, really? Oh, it's called Boop.
Boop, right. It's with cats, and they boop each other.
They sure do.
Now, listener, we would never go to the painstaking experience of trying to explain how the game works, but suffice to say that it is seemingly marketed as a children's game, and it is way more interesting and way more logic-oriented than I would ever assume.
It does. I do have the game right next to me, so I can tell you it says right on the box, ages 10 plus. So 10 not plus. Not a kid game.
Not a toddler game, but it is definitely the aesthetics. It's all cats. So the aesthetics seemingly are targeted for a more laid back and relaxing experience. But it is a thinker up there with maybe chess. I don't know. I don't want to speak too soon.
It's thinkier than checkers. It's probably I would put it on the same tier as Connect Four. Thinkiness wise.
Yeah. So before we get into any beer related stuff, I just wanted to shout out this game because I've been thinking about it a lot.
Wanted to give a shout out to a game that you did not recall the name of.
Yes. Yes. That was one of the things is I wanted to get the name of it, Boop. And shout it out because I'm going to be playing it with my friend on Board Game Archive or whatever the A stands for. Arena, perhaps? Board Game Arena?
I don't
Arena?
Know what you're talking about.
I don't know. It's a good website. All right, let's get into the first article here. I'm going to do them in whatever hell order I please. Sorry about cursing. And we're going to start at vinepair.com.
Whatever ass order you please.
Yes. We asked 11 brewers, what's the next big beer style? 2025. I don't know why they put 2025 in it, because they're kind of asking what the next big beer style is going to be for 2026 as this article came out.
I think it's because they do this frequently,
every year,
perhaps annually. And so they want to distinguish this from previous iterations that we may have honestly covered. This feels familiar to me.
Definitely. I'm sure we did. So they have a lot of options here. A rough count would be around 10. I guess I don't want to go through
each. The title is We Asked 11 Brewers. So,
well, they might have repeated. So how about that? Well, it was good eyeball then, you must admit. Are there any... let's start with anything on the list that really stands out to you. Because there's one that definitely stands out to me more than
others. Is it beer-flavored beers?
That would be the number one for me that stands out.
Beer. All right, so I'm going to read this. There's like a bullet point list, and then there's citations from each of the breweries that were interviewed. So I'm just going to do a dramatic reading.
Yeah.
This is from Jonathan Porter of Smog City Brewing in California. My answer would have to be beer-flavored beers. For a long time, we did a great job as an industry educating consumers about the many flavors of craft beer. But since craft has become ubiquitous, the brewers, retailers, and even distributors have lost focus on teaching people what quality craft beer means because everyone's buying craft beer. Now I think we're going to see a focus more on classic beer styles and flavors. We'll also see a return to intentionality along with increased education on why these beers are the best match for any and all social occasions. Okay, weird pivot there. There's less room for gimmicks and wild flavors, and there will always be room for a well-executed classic style that focuses on balance and drinkability. So this is just saying, like, fuck off with your peanut butter stouts and your, like, blue raspberry sours and that sort of thing, and just, like, back to basics.
Yeah, I think there is a point. They do have a point in that craft breweries seem to be hitting a bit of a plateau in my eyes. Not that people are getting over them, but I think to me it seems like craft breweries have become a social thing, and the beer element of it is like no longer exploding. It's like it's hit a stable equilibrium. Whereas it's not getting bigger, in my opinion, like it once was like 5 years ago when it was just going insane.
It's receding. We cover that a lot. Like we did articles forever about when is the craft beer bubble going to burst? And I don't think it has. And I actually don't think it will.
Neither do I.
That it's just like deflating a bit. Like,
yeah.
Like the people talk about the housing bubble and the dot-com bubble from decades ago, and I think AI is probably look back on it as a bubble where it was, it got bigger and bigger and bigger, couldn't sustain itself anymore, and then collapsed economically, which I don't think is going to happen with beer. I think it's not going to collapse. It'll just recede. I think it grew too big for itself.
Yeah,
which happens with bubbles. But instead of popping where it collapses, it's just going to kind of get back to where it really, like a healthy equilibrium where it ought to be.
Yeah, I think that one of the biggest things that craft breweries did was that they are typically very large, the craft brewery, that the brick and mortar space, and they've become kind of a nice place to go. And if it's crowded, you can still experience your own. Like you can still live inside your own experience and not be annoyed by like all the people that are around you. Like it's like a fun social place. People play board games. I know craft breweries around me that host like D&D type things and all that. And I don't think that's going to go anywhere. I think socially craft breweries have become, you know, a millennial hangout spot that people appreciate a lot.
I'll even say as some of us millennials have aged into actual adults and had children. Mm-hmm. It's can be a good spot to take kids. We take the kids to Hop House most Wednesdays. We have like there's this couple that also goes there on Wednesdays that we've dubbed their third set of grandparents because they're just like in their 60s and they go there to play Yahtzee and our children just bug them. And we should get them to babysit because they're like practically grandparents at this point.
Yeah.
And it's like a nice little community thing.
It is. Yeah. And that's we've seen in Pittsburgh a few places pop up that are like They're called Galleys, like Fed Galley Bakery Square Galley. It's, I don't
what
know
does
if
that
that's,
mean.
I don't know if that's the owners do that, but the out, like Smallman Galley, the out, the outcome of it is it's like a place that has multiple restaurants inside, and then you order from it and then sit in a large dining area. So instead of going,
so it's a food court.
It's like a millennial core food court. Yes. But the food options that are there are, it's more that these food places are being featured than like you can get whatever you want. It's like, it's specialty food. So it's like maybe Caribbean food, maybe like brick oven pizza, maybe XYZ, like not like a fast food place, but, those places have become more popular, and I honestly think it's a result of how breweries have pivoted, in Pittsburgh at least, to having pretty good quality food and being a cool hangout spot. And I think these food courts, as they are becoming more popular because people like the aesthetic of this whole shiz that breweries kind of started, honestly.
And galley is like a hipper term than a food court.
Definitely. Yeah.
I don't know if there's a technical definition for galley. When I think galley, I think a dining room on a boat.
Yes, definitely.
Or a kitchen on a boat, maybe.
Yeah. No, I think galley is the name given by the owners, and they own, that's my guess, is that they own these same places. So it's not like galley is implying a certain thing. It's like, no, these owners name it like the street name and galley, and that's like, you know what you're getting there.
There's a place out here called the Malt House, which is where Three Stacks and I went on one of our very first dates, and actually is where I proposed to her because we have an emotional connection to it. And it won like best kitchen bar category once or twice. And they don't serve food there.
That's
they just have, there's a bunch of wall magnets with phone numbers for delivery places. So like the idea is you're supposed to bring food there or call Domino's and they'll deliver it to you at the bar or whatever. And people were like, yeah, that's better than any of the food at any of the other bars in the city. Sure, we'll give them the award.
Wow. That's hilarious and pitiful at the same time.
I haven't been there in a while. It's on the east side. It's kind of a trip, yeah. But it's a good spot.
Yeah. That's a big W for them and just a big L for everybody else. Is there anything else on this list that stood out to you? I like some of the things I'm just like, okay, is that like heavily bitter IPAs? Is that the opposite of a beer flavored beer, or is that the same? I don't know how to,
I think it's more that. Specific. Because I think, and maybe I should read the quote here. You know what? I'm going to tell you my thoughts, and then I'll read the quote, and we'll see if I was right.
I like
that. Because, like, New England IPAs / juicy IPAs have become such a thing, which are, to me, an abomination, because they're not IPAs. It's okay if they want to be a style, but they shouldn't call themselves IPAs, because they're not hoppy enough to be IPAs. So when I see heavily bitter IPAs, that takes me to like a West Coast IPA, which was a huge trend 10, 15 years ago and has kind of faded. And juicy IPAs have really taken over. So I'm guessing that this person is going to argue for the pendulum to swing back away from the fruitiness and the juiciness back towards like hardcore bitter.
Well,
I read the last one. You should read this one.
Yeah. Okay. I'll read this one. But you're pretty spot on here. I think the next popular beer style will be IPAs that bring real bitterness back into the picture. Craft beer has always been the alter ego to the mainstream, the bold counterbalance that keeps things interesting and alive. After years of softness and sweetness, people are ready for contrast again. No more flat diet iced tea. Give me bubbles and give me bitterness. Which, that's Richie Tevlin, owner and brewmaster of Space Cadet Brewing in Philly. Not dissimilar to the Black IPA shout out that I thought at first was what we were, what I should be reading, because it seems like black IPAs are along the same lines as this.
They're a little maltier, and sometimes there's like a smoky character to them.
Ah, a little smoky.
Not, with not necessarily nice... bitterer, but more of what I would consider to be a legitimate IPA than a juicy IPA.
Sure, sure. Okay, so there's some hate. There's some hate on the new IPAs. What else? Anything else? Single origin beers? Can you take a guess at what the hell that means?
Oh boy, I bet you it's pretentious. I don't have a guess beyond that, but I bet you it's pretentious. Yeah. Like maybe something like sourcing malts and hops and yeast all from one location or something like that. I don't know if environmentally that makes that much sense.
Yeah.
Should I read this one?
Yeah, you can read this one. This one, I don't know if we need to read it or more. We can maybe sum it up. Long, it's long-winded, I guess I'd say.
All right, well, then you sum it up.
But yes, so then what you were basically talking about, which is sourcing malt adjuncts. What's adjuncts?
Adjuncts is like malt, but it doesn't necessarily have to be malt. So sometimes you'll put corn or rice or rye or sugar to achieve the same thing that malt does, but it's not malt.
So the hope is that there will be a shift from large scale production. There has been a shift of large scale production to smaller microbreweries, and they're hoping that there will be more local, regionally grown, as I said, malt adjuncts and hops, and just I guess less focus on these high large scale production places. That seems so specific to like how popular a place is. Like a microbrewery, I would imagine if it's a small microbrewery and it's like known as a local place, it's already going to have like locally sourced things just for cost. But I don't know.
This feels like biome gatekeeping. Like there are just places where some of these ingredients don't grow, and so you need to source them from elsewhere.
Yes, yes.
Are you just gonna tell people in the Deep South like it's a little hot for hops to grow well here, so you're not allowed to make beer anymore?
Yeah, I don't know. It seems like, because at the end of this, it says this focus is attracting younger and broader demographics who appreciate authenticity, and we are excited to be part of that conversation at Nightglow. So none of the other ones we read, and I'm just browsing the end sentences of some of these other ones, were direct, you know, advertisements for their own breweries. But this one seems pretty specific to be like, this is where I think things are going, and we are proudly like leading the charge at our brewery. So you know what, Johnny Ifergan, this, you know, it doesn't always have to be about pushing your product, I guess is what I'll say. They're already interviewing you about beers, like already doing something right.
Maybe he didn't know that the brewery would be like next to his name on the exact same line as the sentence where he refers to it. Maybe. Honestly, this is a Brooklyn ass take, and like I think Brooklyn broadly culturally is a good thing, but I agree. But like sometimes they're a little annoying and cringy, and this is maybe one of those.
Yeah. I don't care about any other things on this list, do you?
No, but that's the comedy rule I learned, the no but rule. I had something kind of sort of a little bit related. It, just when it comes to the idea of beer parlance.
Okay. What do you got here?
So this is part one in the 100-part series that I'm planning.
Yeah.
Called Beer Hacks.
Oh, boy.
My in-laws got me this book for Xmas.
Uh-huh.
It's 100 Beer Hacks.
Yes.
And so what I'm going to do is every time I don't have content, which is usually, I'm going to just do the next beer hack in the list. And I peeked ahead a little bit because I was worried that one of these was going to be like, put it in a blender. And I was going to be like, I don't have a blender, dog. What? Come on. But the first dozen or so are all beer terms. So, which means the first dozen or so installments of this are going to be dumb and boring as shit.
Good. That'll fit right in with this episode.
Yes. And so this is a style that I think when you talk about a session IPA like you have, and they one of the ones on here was 5 to 6% ales. I think that also fits. Session below ABV beers was another one from that article. So right in here we have the word crushable.
Okay.
This is an important definition.
Yeah.
A beer you can drink quickly or crush. This is generally used for lower ABV beers that are designed to go down easy between 4 and 6%, but it can also reference, say, a double IPA, which generally comes in 8% and up, that has a genuine mix of punch and smoothness. These generally get the modifier of dangerously crushable. It is a very correct modifier.
That's the first thing in the whole book.
That's 1 out of 100. So they were leading strong with, hey, you guys know a word that even if you haven't heard it in a beer context, you could probably infer what it means. We'll go ahead and define that for you explicitly.
Yeah. Wow. Well, thank you. Do you have a name for this segment? Just 100 beer hacks or?
Beer hacks with the beer hack. Cause like I'm a hack.
Yeah. Oh, I like that a lot. Wow. We could actually change the name of our podcast to beer hacks.
Don't say our podcast.
I'm the host, motherfucker. Okay. You're lucky I included you at all.
If we did an IPO, I don't know if you would get any equity.
You don't think I'd get any equity?
I think it would be 70 me, 30 Tyler, and everyone else can fuck off.
That's bullshit. I'm gonna unionize with fucking everyone else.
Yeah, text Boris.
You know what? Fuck you.
If anyone other than me and Tyler gets equity, it's Boris. So he's going to be your gatekeeper there, I think.
Okay. Well, I'm going to fucking text 3Stacks because I think 3Stacks should get some equity. So there you go.
I mean, by marriage, she would anyway.
That's not what I meant.
Because assets are shared. Like, you know that, right?
And well, I mean, not always.
Legally, they are.
What about a prenup? Or is that just for divorce?
I think that is just for divorce. Also, we didn't get a prenup because I don't have that much money.
Well, you didn't at the time, but you know.
Still don't. I keep spending it on my stupid wife.
Oh, I still don't have a beer mile in this.
Are you looking at the spreadsheet?
I'm looking at the spreadsheet because I wanted to see the numbers. And how close I was to equity. And I'm not very close. But, you know, I'm top, what is this? Top 7. So that's good.
You're number 6 because number 1 is just the column labels.
Oh, I meant I'm top 7 because 8th place is Rainer at 18. And 3Stacks is only 10 behind me. So there's a bit of a gap between 3Stacks and Rainer. So outside top 7 is just completely kind of irrelevant. Oh, wait a second. No. Becca has 23.
Yeah, I got to
move. Be above Rainer.
I got to move her row up. I just haven't gotten around to it.
Wow.
I also got to put Mitch above Lars, but I haven't gotten around to that either.
Yeah. Oh, Shoop. Shoop was on once.
Yeah, that was fun. We talked about how he's a nasty pig.
Oh. Is he still a nasty pig?
I don't know. I haven't talked to the man in a very long time. Apparently, that's a brand of underwear that he either wears or at the time wore.
Wow. Then I guess I'm a me undie. And speaking of which, my content for this week is a new advertisement that I'm hoping to get for the podcast. As a host, I'm trying to make some changes. Me undies.
So you're saying we're not getting paid for this. You're doing a free ad read as like a trial.
I feel like most ads kind of work that way on YouTube. Like they probably talk about it and then they're like, just see what happened in our last video. Like we had that good ad.
I really don't think that's how it works. But
anyways, yeah. So that was a fine article and I hope they only get better from here. You're just going to count that reading from that book as your content?
Yeah, big time, Jim. If you want to talk about what Crushable means to you, if we want to treat this as like a jumping off point, that's fine too.
You know, I don't feel like that's worth either of our times, frankly.
Yeah, Tyler's not going to like this for the next 99 weeks.
This, yeah, truly. The main thing that's bringing me joy in this episode is knowing that Tyler will listen to it. And so if I at any point feel like I'm wasting my time, it's going to feel worse for Tyler. So that is like really gives me the strength to keep going as a host.
Should we just spend 3 minutes listing our favorite ultimate throws just to really piss him off?
I was going to say, what if we just complimented Tyler for 3 minutes?
No, well, because I'm not doing that. I like a bendy flick break. Those okay. are really satisfying. If you can put that on the money, makes everyone look silly other than you. I love that.
Yeah, I love that too. That's a good shout. That's my pick too. So I guess I don't have one anymore.
So we'll just move along then.
Yes, we will.
Jed, for the first time in his whole life, being nice to Tyler.
No, that's what I'm saying. He's not here right now, so we say nice things, and he listens, and he's like, oh, that was nice. And then when we have him on the pod, we, you know, just do the normal thing.
Talk about his little dick and whatnot.
Listen, every time that Tyler's on and I give him a little bit, I give him an inch. Speaking of his little penis, every time I give him an inch, he takes it and he throws it back in my face. And I'm like, well, I guess I'll learn my lesson one day.
There's a joke there about every time Tyler gives someone an inch, you're like, that's half his penis or something like that.
I whispered a small joke about his penis just now.
Yeah, mine was better.
I don't know. It's a low bar. All right. We're pivoting now to this article with this man because I can't stop looking at him. And I wish that he was looking at the camera, I think. And it's unnerving that he's not. But from BBC.com, if you've ever heard of it.
Oh, I think this guy has a lazy eye. I think one of his eyes is looking at the camera and the other one isn't.
Oh, see, if he has a lazy eye, then that made me feel like both of his eyes are not looking at me.
I don't know the man. I don't mean to cast aspersions.
Well, it's on BBC.com. The article's called "Will Guest Beer Rules Support Small Scottish Breweries?" So, you know,
interesting. And now, what is a guest beer rule? Can you define that for me?
Yeah. So, a guest beer rule is it's fluctuating. It's been hard the last couple of years. Okay. Let's see if we can figure out what a guest beer rule is.
If you need to take 2 minutes to read this while I dick around on my phone and I can cut some dead air, we can do that.
No. So how are you, what you probably meant to ask about guest beer rules are how are guest beer rules working for breweries like this?
Oh no, actually I had a more fundamental question, which is what does that mean? Yeah. I don't know what they are. So I feel like I don't even really understand the question of how are they working for breweries? Cause I don't know what they are.
Yeah. So here's the thing.
Uh-huh.
I'm pretty good at skimming an article and understanding what it says. But while I'm talking, it is a whole different thing. And usually in these episodes, I get to read the article and then chime in because Tyler's the one that has to do the talking because he's the host. So it ends up with me, as far as I can tell, I'm the only one that reads the articles during our episodes. And then I try to bring up things that are said in the article. And then
skim them. While Tyler talks, but now you have to give your well-reasoned synopsis of the article while I skim.
Yes. Well, I actually can't figure out what a guest beer rule is.
Should I ask ChatGPT?
Yes.
Just what are guest beer rules?
Yeah. Say maybe in Scotland.
Tyler really liked this. He loves when I use ChatGPT for the show.
Well, Tyler just hates the environment, so really any use of technology is... He's big on that.
Guest beer rules is an informal, mostly unwritten set of hospitality and drinking etiquette norms. It's not a formal code. Yeah. So I guess I kind of assumed that. So guest beer rules, you always offer a guest a drink. Like, yeah, dog, they're in your drinking establishment. You do not drink the guest beer. What? Mm-hmm. Guest beer is not the same as everyday beer. If you drink the guest beer, replace it. Guests don't take the piss.
Okay, okay. I'm going to answer your question because
I think it's possible that ChatGPT is stupid. Shit.
I think that is possible as well. What I've inferred from the article is that larger breweries are selling guest beers, and the guest beers are brewed by smaller independent breweries.
So I think perhaps in America, those might be called featured taps.
Okay, yeah. It says in a little blurb, it says the new rules mean that tenant pubs owned by bigger breweries can also now sell a guest beer made by a smaller independent producer. So I don't know if this is, I think this has to do specifically with the quote unquote tenant pubs, where a bigger brewery owns like a bar, for example, that they just only sell their beer at.
Guinness owns their pub. They sell a bunch of Guinness and a bunch of like meat pies and shit. But then also they sell beer from a local brewery. We have concepts like this in the States. I can speak a lot more definitively to Wisconsin than anywhere else in our fair nation. But there are really separate rules for a bar versus a brew pub. Mm. At a bar, you can sell whatever, but it's like based on your licensure. Whereas if you're a brew pub, you can sell just your brewery's beer. You wouldn't be able to sell outside beers. But right. Then there's like special rules for you can sell wine, but the wine has to be from Wisconsin. You couldn't bring in outside wine. You could do like local Wisconsin wines, but not other wines. And I think ciders as well, but I'm not as sure about that. So this feels a little bit like that.
Yeah. Well, I guess that's a good change. It's kind of interesting that this is new for them, because it seems like that's been happening in America for a bit longer. Just my familiarity with featured taps.
Well, craft brew blew up here way before it blew up there. So that's okay. Not a surprise. They're a little behind.
Yeah. So I guess that's the whole point of this article. I haven't found anything else in the article worth bringing up, frankly, but good for them. I'm glad smaller local breweries are getting the opportunity to, you know, get some exposure out there and get themselves on the map, as it were.
I like this little quote here. Making beer, selling beer. It's good fun. Wow. Isn't that just so wholesome?
That's so great. You have to be optimistic.
Thanks, Jamie.
Wow. What an optimistic place Scotland is. Great. Did you pick these articles?
No, Tyler did. He just didn't show up for the show.
Is that true?
No, I fucking picked them, you dick.
Okay. I don't know, because maybe that's his job.
Well, usually I pitch him articles and he narrows them down. This time I had 5 articles pitched and 2 of them were paywalled, so I sent you the other 3.
Wow. Okay. Well, that's good to know, because so for the listeners, you know,
the last article has almost nothing to do with beer. Is that what you were going to say?
No, I wasn't going to. I noticed that because I just looked at it, but I wasn't going to say that. I was going to say that if our listeners are concerned about the quality control going on, we are, in fact, missing a piece of that workflow today that we typically have in place, which is...
I thought you were going to say we still have our confident captain at the helm, which is why all the articles have been so good this week.
I wouldn't say I'm the confident captain. I'm kind of like...
Fuck you!
Okay, anyways. God, okay, we'll get to this article later. I guess I have to do some sort of content. That's kind of the flow.
You haven't been on in like 2 months, 3 months? I forget.
Okay, I do have a life update, which isn't that I have a job because I don't. So I don't have a job still.
That's interesting because last time we spoke, I think you did have a job. So this is me learning you don't have a job. You'd be wrong.
No, I haven't had a job for 6 months now, probably.
Fuck, dude.
Yeah, we've talked about it, I'm sure.
We don't talk about real stuff. We mostly play Boop in silence.
Ugh, what a great game. Okay, I'll give you a real quick breakdown, which is that I was at my job for like 5 years and then my boss left and my boss was shielding me from a ton of bullshit. And I was like, well, I'm not going to stay either. So then I left and that was like 6 months ago and I've just been chilling ever since. So, yeah.
Not that I'm like your dad or nothing, but how are we doing on savings?
We're good. Yeah. Because you're not my dad, and my dad passed away, sadly.
Right, and, I knew now, that. As soon as it came out of my mouth, I was like, ooh, poor choice of words, Samuel.
Yeah, so, you know, now I got all that money because he passed away. So, you know, I'm probably never going to work again.
Well, I guess you got that. You're from Fox Chapel, so you got that RK shit going on. You're not worried about things.
You know, he didn't really live there that much. He lived there with my mom, and my mom stayed there, but he moved to a different neighborhood, so... What can you do? But speaking of Fox Chapel, I've picked up a new hobby, a new sport, as it were, that is a lot kinder on my body. What are you going to say? You're already shaking your head.
Yeah, it's constant with you. Because there was the 6 months that you were obsessed with rock climbing. And then I've been talking about rock climbing since.
Yeah, the problem with rock climbing is when I hurt myself playing Ultimate, I cannot rock climb. And sometimes I hurt myself rock climbing and then I can't play Ultimate. And so I've picked another sport that I won't get hurt during because it involves mostly standing. Go on.
Oh, I had a guess until you said mostly standing.
What do you think?
I was thinking you always injure your lower body, like knees and ankles.
Mm-hmm.
Did he get into competitive arm wrestling? Like over the top.
My arm would snap off. Like that would be so bad for my arm and my shoulder. No, I got into a sport. I'll give you a little hint. Here's your hint.
Give me the hint whenever you want. I'm ready for the hint.
So I've been playing ball golf recently.
So that's interesting. If I had 1,000 guesses, I wouldn't have gotten it because yeah. Ball golf, I have not heard of.
Hmm.
Explain ball golf to me.
So a lot of people are familiar with golf. You know, I've played disc golf, some people call it. I've played disc golf for many years. You know, you have little discs that you throw and you try and get them in the basket. You know, everyone knows what disc
golf is. Is this golf?
Yeah, golf. Yeah, you've heard of
okay.
it. Okay. Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, so, man.
I've been playing golf.
Oh, I can hear Tyler right now making fun of me for not getting your shitty joke fast enough.
So, so I've been playing golf, yeah.
Really lean into that RK life.
Truly. Yeah. So I'm going all in. I went, on two vacations with my family, over the last 3 weeks. We went to Florida and then they all tricked me into going to Colorado with them. The Florida leg of the trip, I was there for 6 days and I played golf every single day. So that was pretty cool. And now I'm in Pittsburgh where you can't go outside and do sports, except the weather's actually been really warm, which is another issue that we don't need to talk about. But yeah, so I'm all in on golf. I'm a golfer now. And hopefully I won't get injured from this new sport of mine that mostly involves standing and driving around in a golf cart.
See, I just, when you said ball golf, where my mind went was like disc golf.
With a ball. Yeah, you get it.
With a ball. So like a tennis ball or whatever that you have to throw towards the hole as opposed to whack with a club.
Yeah, I mean, I'd play that too. That seems fun. There is a soccer golf. I don't know what it's called. I think it has a better name than soccer golf, but it's
probably scolf.
I sure hope not. But
it's called frolf. It's probably called scolf.
It's not called frolf. You call it frolf, but that
everyone other than you nerds call it frolf.
Yeah, because you're all idiots. Okay, I bet you call tissue paper Kleenex as well. Fucking idiot.
Oh man, Emily does. It kind of irritates me, but I didn't bring it up.
Wow. Well, now you're sharing and understanding my problem. So wonderful. But yeah, I've been playing golf, got my first birdie in Florida, so that was cool. And trying to break 100. That's my first goal. Break 100 on 18 holes. It's a lot of strokes you get.
100.
Yeah.
I've probably talked about this on the show before, but probably not with you, the human being.
Right.
When I was young, my dad's was a big sports kid. Like, mm-hmm. it was all about going out in the neighborhood and playing stickball, that type of shit. And I was a late bloomer sports-wise. Really, ultimate was the first sport that I, like, liked playing.
Yeah.
I think because I was very small as a kid and just, like, was getting run over playing soccer and basketball and stuff.
Yeah.
And so one of the many sports he tried to get me to do was golf, which makes sense. You know, it's non-contact type of a thing.
Yeah.
But my other, we'll call it, physical impairment is that I'm left-handed.
Mm,
yes. So I got signed up for a golf camp. Part of the golf camp was, everyone gets their own set of clubs, and by set of clubs, it's like driver, wedge, putter. That's it.
Yeah.
But I got there and they're like, oh, we're pretty low on lefty clubs. So all we have is a wedge and we have two lefties. So you two lefties have to practice driving with a wedge and putting with a wedge, and you have to take turns. And no, we will not refund any of your money. So I don't have very positive feelings about golf.
That's fair. At least you know where that came from, and it's pretty easily explainable. And
well, also, I hate rich people. So well, like
you're
that,
a lefty. It's because you're lefty. That's the reason.
In a couple senses of the word, that's why I don't like golf.
Well, here's the great thing about golf, in Pittsburgh at least, is the public courses are super cheap. And yeah, you can play there all the time. And it's very cheap and they're in very good quality. So you don't have to be super rich to play golf. It's an accessible sport, Sam, I'll tell you what.
And now, as a ball golfer, do you ever try to convince your fellow ball golfers to call it Bolf?
No, because I worked very hard telling my fellow disc golfers not to call it Frolf, which, again, disc golfers wouldn't call it that. But why would I work towards something that I hate?
Well, I'll tell you what. I know you're out of work right now.
Yeah.
So if I can get video proof of you trying to convince one of your fellow golfers to call it Bolf, and send me your address, I'll send you a check for $3.
God damn it. I need that money. No, I won't be doing that.
Okay.
I
know you're a prostitute, but I just haven't learned your price.
Sexual favors, Sam. Sexual favors. I'm so excited for Tyler to be listening to this episode and we talk about golf on it. God, he's gonna be so excited and happy. Yeah.
Man, speaking of sexual favors, I heard a term today on a different podcast that I'm just gonna steal it, that I think is really funny. I think they called it going scarecrow or okay. Doing the scarecrow.
Okay.
Which is getting brain from a guy behind a curtain.
Okay. From a guy behind. Okay. Like a glory hole, but a curtain.
Whatever.
Okay.
Don't think about it too hard. It's funny. Okay. Stop thinking about it. Just laugh and stop thinking about it.
Wait. What's going scarecrow when you're receiving head?
When you're getting, because the scarecrow in Wizard of Oz, he got a brain from a guy behind a curtain. It's not complicated. And now you're laughing, and now you stop thinking, and we go right to this article. Now, this one's from the Takeout.
Hey, I'm the host. I'm the host, okay? And as the host, I appreciate that we probably have more than enough content for you to edit or not edit this bullshit. So I don't think we should even do this fucking article.
Yeah, I think we probably should.
I think we should just rate our beers. How about that?
How about we say the title of the episode as a little teaser and then rate our beers?
The title of the article?
Yeah.
Okay. Okay. Stay tuned. If this makes it past our quality control, then on next episode, you may be learning the type of cheese you should use to make beer cheese.
More of a food article than a beer article, but also, I'm going to read this for my own personal reasons.
Also, the focus is on the cheese.
Oh, hugely. This is a food article, not a beer article. That's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
But yeah, man, beer cheese rules. Should we? Yeah, we'll talk about our beers now. Who's going first?
I'll go first. I'm the host. I make the rules. Let me finish. Let me just. Yeah, why don't you chug the rest of your beer?
I'm saving a sip for my wife.
Oh, that's beautiful. I had Southern Tier's Smooth Rider. It was a session IPA. Sam told me at the top of the episode what a session IPA meant. And I feel like it followed that pretty well. It's 4.8%, so on the stronger side. And it was very smooth. I think it was aptly named. I still can't really tell the difference between, quote unquote, IPAs. The fruity IPAs give me at least some flavor that I can be like, oh, I can talk about this because I know what a blueberry is. But without that, it's really just how hoppy it is to me.
It's got to be about which hoppy, though. That's the thing you got to be able to pick up.
I can't do that. That's what I'm saying.
Right. No, but you should be able to. That's what I'm saying.
I should be able to. That's probably false. It says citrusy hops and subtly sweet malts finish dry and smooth.
I mean, malts are sweet by their nature. That's not a helpful. But citrusy hops, there are a handful of different kind of categories of hop flavor, and citrusy is one of them. Do you get citrus flavor from this?
Slightly, yes. But I needed to have read it in order to pick it out. So I don't think I'm a trustworthy narrator here.
I mean, I think you're early on your IPA journey, but being able to recognize that this hop tastes like some other hops you've had and different from other hops you've had, that's meaningful progress.
Yeah, I haven't gotten there yet because I can't compare it yet. I would have to have two different IPAs, and then I think I'd be more confident, but I don't have the flavor locked in like that. But I will say that something I've noticed about IPAs that is definitely newer to me is that as they warm up a little, if they're in the fridge and I drink them, as they warm up and the flavors come out more, I'm finding myself not losing enjoyment as I used to, because I felt, you know, the bitterness will come out a little more as well. And that used to be like, oh, I gotta put this back before like the flavor comes out because it tastes like beer. And now I'm finding I'm pleasantly surprised by the flavors coming out instead of terrified and looking to avoid it.
I mean, that's kind of why in Europe, beer is often not served as cold, because you get those notes quicker.
Yeah.
I think next time you're on, you should bring on like a citrus forward IPA and like a piney. Pine is another kind of category of hop flavor IPA, and then just pour both of those up your butt and see if you can tell the difference.
Just boof them. All right.
That's got to be one of my 100 beer hacks, right? Is pour it up your asshole.
Just boof it. Yeah. I mean, we don't know what direction this book is going. I certainly don't, because I don't know anything about it except for the first beer hack, which is actually just a word and not a hack at all.
I think, but the first 10 or 15 are just definitions of words. We already know what they mean.
Does it say beer hack number one and then it says crushable?
So there's like an introductory, I think there's chapters. So there's an introduction, beer terms to hack your way to sounding cooler and more informative. It's like, I'm about to tell you what some words mean. And number one is crushable.
So the beer hack, not a beer hack, it's a hack to sound cooler when talking about beer. I understand now. Anyways, what am I going to give Smooth Rider? I feel like a nice 7.0 is what I'll be giving it, and I'll recommend it to myself. I think I would enjoy it if I had it again, and it is a positive stop on my journey to drinking beers that I used to hate. Yeah.
I hope one day to have the same experience you're having with IPAs, with sours, because I still kind of just can't with them.
That's fair enough. What did you have, though?
I had Brewing Project Peanut Butter Double Stuffed.
Mm-hmm.
I get the chocolate, vanilla, and the peanut, which is all good. It's a little fakey on the peanut. It's a little too sweet for me. And it's a little boozy. Like, I feel like there's enough flavor kicking around. They should have been able to cover the booze better, and they didn't. But it's not, like, gross or nothing.
What's ABV on that bad boy?
10.
Yeah.
So I'm going to give it a 6.5 and recommend it to my wife and give the rest of this to my wife.
Wow. Look at those. Such practical recommendations from both of us today. Well, thank you for listening, sticking through it. Tyler, I miss you. I'll tell you that right now. I miss having you host. It's not easy dealing with this guy.
Yeah, we don't release the video for these, so the listener can't see that there's just sweat pouring down you right now.
Yeah,
you're visibly exhausted by like the pressure, the exertion of hosting the show.
Yes.
And the hardest part of all is coming up, where you say our catchphrase and where on the internet to find us.
Yeah, that's why Tyler's always so sweaty when we're on video together.
He sure is.
Yeah, he's so sweaty. Well, thank you for listening. I know what the catchphrase is and what the website is, but I'm trying to remember if there's anything else. I think you can email us at brewsdaytuesday@gmail.com.
brewsdaytuesdaypodcast@gmail.com. Podcast. Come on, it's a podcast, Jed. Don't forget.
If you want to check out the beers we've been drinking, you can go to brewstews.com, not brewsdaytuesday.com that I tried to go to earlier. That is not our website. Don't let the bastards keep you down, Sam. And what are you having next week? That's something he asks.
I don't know.
Thank God. All right. Bye.
Bye. Here comes a beer. Catch all your tears. Drink the remedy. Forget about your problems. Here comes a shot. Lose all your thoughts. Drink the remedy, forget about your problem. This one's on me, fix you for free. Drink the remedy, forget about everything. This one's on me, got what you need. And take your medicine, you feel better.
Oh, well, we did it.